Hey guys, Adam here. Usually when I'm here before the episode, it means I fucked something up, but that's not true this time. I'm actually here to issue a content warning that in this episode, Meg and I will be discussing sexual assault as well as domestic abuse. Something comes up in the Breaking Bad episode that made it necessary for us to talk about these things, but we wanted to throw this warning out in case that's the sort of thing that will upset you and ruin your day, and you can just go ahead and skip this episode if that's the case. It will not bother us, and it will make your day significantly better by doing so. But yeah, with that out of the way, on with the show.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
Sorry. All right. No, that wasn't good enough. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
We're here. It's Adam and Meg. Season four finale of Breaking Backwards.
It's season four finale already?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like just yesterday that we started, but it was over a year ago, so I shouldn't be so surprised.
Yeah, the season four premiere was probably our best premiere, where we got really drunk.
Oh, that was fun.
That was very fun. Yeah.
I said that Jane was dead as a doornail, remember?
You did say that. That was very funny.
Just how my dad describes dead people, so.
And you thought when Jesse's giving her, chest compressions.
Chest compressions, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, someone's fucking. And they weren't.
Yeah, I was very nervous to get drunk in the middle of the day that day. I was frightened. I was really nervous.
Well, you pulled it off.
Thank you. And I tried.
I almost destroyed my tummy with all that Reese's.
Good God.
Yeah, I ate a lot of it.
Yeah, what a thing to do. So here we are at the finale of season four, as Adam mm-hmm. mentioned, with an episode called 737.
And it's the title in the episode refers to the amount of money Walt says he needs to make in order to provide for his family once he dies. But in the back of your head, you're like, 737? That's a type of airplane. Yeah. I wonder what that means. And
yes.
I don't know. I would call this one of the most B-plus episodes that has ever B-plused. It's fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a hard time separating the quality of the story and how outraged I get by Walt's behavior.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, the more outraged I am and I feel like he's unpunished, the lower the rating of the episode will be.
Okay.
Today is an episode that I was pretty miffed at, as we'll get into.
Yeah. He does a sexual assault.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
On a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
This episode opens up.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. We're not going right there. Okay. We'll get there.
Whatever the opposite of eating your vegetables is, like, you have to take your vitamins with no water before, like, we have to eat our vegetables before we take a multivitamin without any water on an empty stomach.
So we have to snort B12 later on, but right now we have to eat raw broccoli. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather eat raw broccoli any day of the week, but
really? Oh, my roommate and me just got in a conversation about this. I don't like raw broccoli.
You can dip it in ranch.
I put it in the microwave for a minute, and then I cook it on the stove.
Okay. I air fry broccoli now, and that's been pretty cool. That's been pretty great.
I can't afford an air fryer.
My mom gave it to me as a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, okay. Did we talk about that in the in Valentine's Day?
No, I don't think so, but just so
speaking
you know.
Speaking of days, it's Mother's Day tomorrow. You doing anything?
I'm probably going to surf, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I might get Portillo's tonight or tomorrow. That's kind of a tradition.
So when you become a mother, because, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, I should do something for my mom. It's Mother's Day. But then when you are a mother on Mother's Day, are you like, well, me and my mom are on equal footing now. I'm not doing shit for her.
You know, I got her. You want to see what I got her?
It's really
dumb. I got her a really great card. I got her this, which is just a little cactus. It looks kind
of... It's a cactus. Okay.
And then I get these cards that, like, sing.
Mm.
They're pretty expensive.
That's fine.
Yeah, watch what it does.
The cape moves?
Yeah, the cape moves, but then it goes along with the song. It can't touch this.
Okay, so it's a cat. It says our hero, and it's a cat head on a superhero body, and the cape of the cat goes back and forth when you hold a button for the listeners.
It sings the song Can't Touch This.
Oh, yeah, the cat sings the song Can't Touch This. And is it the original recording?
Yeah, it doesn't get weirdly religious. Yeah, they went back and they got the original. I paid a penny for that.
Wow.
Anyways, that's what I do. I don't know. I might get my mom like a scratch-off lottery ticket too. It's hard, man. Like, I don't
know. Does your mom get you something for Mother's Day now because you are a mother?
Maybe. I know 1 year she sent me flowers like the first year I was pregnant. You know how often those last. And then I can't remember if she did more than that. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm still her child, so I should still get her something. But
Yeah, the politics of Mother's Day, they get complicated as we grow up.
Yeah.
And become mothers ourselves.
My kids,
what do they get you? Do they get you cool shit? They get you a skateboard?
No, they often just make me stuff.
Okay, like macaroni pictures?
Yeah, their dad is never even reminds them that Mother's Day's coming up. Yeah, it's always like, you know. But I had a boyfriend once who, like, really loved to spoil me on Mother's Day, which I thought was very
sweet. That's fun.
There was no reason for him to do that, so it was
That's
nice.
The boyfriend who's friends with Jesse Plemons, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
As you could imagine, I wouldn't be surprised if flowers showed up at my door tomorrow. Because he's just either. Nice like that.
He's often a nice boy.
Sends me flowers. Like, he's sweet.
Yeah, I sent my mom a mug, and the handle of the mug is a hot dog bun, but a dachshund head comes out one end, and a dachshund bottom comes out the other one.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's not explicitly mother themed, but you know, she said she just wants kitschy shit from Amazon, and I was like, okay, and so I found that. So I was like, I don't have an income, so that's right up my alley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that she'll appreciate. In the end, it's like the gesture, as always.
Yeah. Thank God she didn't want like a laser printer, because that would have fucked me if I had been like, okay, I'll get you a laser printer.
What if she's like, I want an iPad Pro for Mother's Day from each one of my children?
Oh wow! So she could stack them.
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be hard. I mean, a few of her kids could swing that and be like, all right, weird flex, but we'll do it. I couldn't. Well, I have credit cards. I could do it.
Well, good thing she just wanted kitschy shit from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Didn't have that laser printer. Okay, so we open up in black and white.
Yes. It's a scene we're familiar with now, having seen it going backwards, of a snail and a hose and a frosty drink and a pool with an eyeball in it and a neon pink stuffed animal doing its fucking thing. And then it gets sucked up into the cleaning thing. And that's kind of it. I think, I'm sorry, I keep wanting to jump ahead and I really shan't. So that's the end of the opening.
What were you going to jump ahead to? What were you thinking about?
Just that this whole season has been a bunch of great reasons for Skyler to divorce Walt, and knowing that this scene is him sitting by the pool having to move his shit out of the house is kind of like, you know, it just makes sense to me that, like, not makes sense, but it's just kind of like, yeah, you got to get your shit out of here, my dude. You've been a real bad guy.
She divorces him. Good for her.
But not really. She doesn't. I'm sad she doesn't.
Oh, no. Eventually she becomes his Tom Hagen. She is like, well, we're not married, but I want to be your consigliere.
But she never actually fully divorces him.
No, and I think that's for litigation purposes, right? Because she's like, because then we can't be compelled to testify against each other.
It seemed like she had some type of other, like she felt guilty or something. It didn't seem like she was being pragmatic about it.
She also, I think she thought Ted was a little more annoying.
She never really gave him a chance.
Yeah, true.
I feel like sad for her for not doing that. But at the same time, too, he is.
Well, she's like, my husband's a drug manufacturer, but he's not a tax cheat.
And that's, and she's like, once she got involved with one of those, she goes, oh, this is a life of crime. I can't do this anymore. And she went crawling back.
You know, but it was like very, it's like she, get. I have to go to it. She like flinches away from Ted when he like kisses her on the shoulder once after coming out of the shower. And she's like, mm-hmm. I don't like it. And he doesn't then like continue to do it immediately after he can tell she's not into it. He backs off. Today, we saw Walt force himself on his pregnant wife while she's saying no. Mm-hmm. It was really, I don't know, man. I mean, good for her for like having boundaries, but tax sheet or not, at least Walt didn't, or at least Ted listened, you know?
And yeah, like, it's hard to make the joke about Ted being a tax cheat now that we know this. That was a fun bit, but now sexual assault has come into the equation and that must be accounted for. It was there the whole time, I guess.
Yeah, I had no idea about it. I think that I would hate watch the rest of the series just wanting to see Walter get what's due to him. Like, get punished for his behavior during this season. And especially if it fucking season 2, episode 1 starts out like this. Like, I would want to see him kind of, you know, everything blow up in his face. And it does.
But it does,
like,
yeah.
Other people's lives get destroyed. And it seems like maybe I just want his life to get destroyed, you know?
Yeah, his life gets destroyed, gets really good for a few months, and then gets super duper duper destroyed.
I think that, like, this isn't even that far after his diagnosis. And
I think it's like a month, maybe 2 months.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
So this was very much under the surface, bubbling the whole time.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil any. I don't remember it completely because season one's probably the season I've seen the least.
Okay.
They get into some stuff where they start, like, they fuck a bunch, I think, in the season one finale. And there's, like, and they, like, in, like, places that are illegal to fuck. And, like, that becomes, like, a turn-on thing for them. I forget. We need to rewatch it. We'll rewatch
like
it.
Like a voyeuristic.
Voyeuristic thing.
They're exhibitionists. I get it. But, like, you know, I'm sure that when that's happening, it's, you know, she's... There's nothing worse than when someone's coming on to you and you're feeding them, like, excuses why
like,
this
hey,
is
stop.
A bad
hey, knock
idea.
It off. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't listen. And, like, I'm sure... There was an equal level of enthusiasm. If what you're describing is true, I'm sure. Like,
oh yeah, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. Yeah. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just trying to be like, this is a bit of a continuation of that, and clearly he crosses a line. Like, I'm glad she kind of dresses him down by the pool.
Yeah, I wish she did it more severely. I wish she came out and was like, you motherfucker, if you ever do that again, not just like, don't take it out on me. Like, that was unacceptable. But also, like, you know, I don't know. She kind of, man. There's just a lot there, I guess.
Yeah, no.
You know.
Yeah, I think I was mentioning this in the chat, because you're like, why is she leaving? But I don't know. It's when you're in a relationship that's emotionally abusive, sometimes it's, you kind of be like, well, just that one time, and it's probably going to be better from now on. And it sucks. You play that game with yourself a lot.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's a forest from the trees situation. You just can't.
Outside in, it's you're like, yeah, you fucking idiot. But then when you're in it, it's hard. You don't listen to logic.
Yeah. No, I mean, also, she's in the most vulnerable state she can be in. You know?
Yeah, she's pregnant.
She's pregnant in this, like, dilapidated house with no money and, like, an already, you know, high-need son. So, I totally sympathize with that. I just wish she was, like, you know... There's a part of me that wished she was, I know people say like, oh, Skylar is super difficult to deal with or dislike Skylar. They think she like gets in Walt's way. To me, I wish there is a part of me that wishes that she became the most difficult version of herself, kind of advocating for only what she wanted or what was best for her and Junior. And not ever even considered what Walt needed because he kind of took away that, you know, reason for her to be empathetic this whole season.
I do like that pretty quickly after this, she's like, I got to get a fucking job so I can get a escape hatch for whatever this is.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is
Because we looked later on. I do not remember this. She's looking at old pictures of like her and Ted just like hanging out.
Yeah.
At like work shit. I don't remember that at all. And as the audience, you would not know who that was.
And I guess maybe, you know, that actually planted the seeds better, like, for the her even going back to Bennett at all. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're after the credits now, after the theme song, which we all know and love so dearly.
Oh, yeah. That theme song. Yeah. Why are you looking at me like I'm going to sing the theme song? It's very...
No, everybody knows it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it starts with that electric guitar that goes like, dun-dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, roll up on big fat motorcycles.
Yeah.
And they tilt their sunglasses to one another and then they drive off and the camera changes from a view from behind and you can see them going down like an endless road through the desert.
Then you see Breaking Bad, but then it zooms out and you realize it's a tramp stamp that they had. Well, I had Breaking Bad as a tramp stamp. That's very fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They both had identical Breaking Bad tram stamps.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and with the chemistry font and everything, which I don't know why Jesse would do that, but they do it.
Jesse doesn't seem... Well, Jesse seemed like if somebody was like, do you want to get matching tattoos? He'd be like, fuck, yes. You know.
True. Random question. I don't know if we've talked about this. How many tattoos do you have again?
Three.
It seems like the good number.
Yeah, and they're... The one on my back is, you know, a medium-sized tattoo, I guess. It takes up, like, my whole shoulder blade, and then the other ones are small.
Yeah, I think the one on your back is my favorite. I like that one.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a good tattoo. Yeah, I think I've told you where I want to get one, and I just don't know what yet.
Well, you told me, like, the idea of the, like, key.
Oh, yeah, the keyhole. Yeah. I don't know. I'm falling out of love with that, and you can't get a tattoo if you fall out of love with it.
Oh, trust me, I fall in and out of love with some of my tattoos all the time.
But I just want this forearm covered in something. I don't know.
That'd be cool. You should probably start with your, well, whatever. You want your forearm?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but like something small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get a sick ass dragon.
I don't feel like a dragon.
You said a sick ass tiger covered in pussies.
Oh, a tiger covered in pussies? Yeah, I do feel like that a lot. So, okay, no, that'd be cool. Like, disembodied pussies, like, not attached to a woman. Just, like, falling down, like, raining.
Yeah, like, it's raining. I thought maybe the tiger could have, like, 18 vaginas.
But has several vaginas just all over their body?
Yeah.
I almost said his body, but that makes no sense.
Does it need...
Oh, unless the tiger has a bunch of vaginas but identifies as male, which could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So a non-binary tiger with a bunch of vaginas.
I could not imagine anything more appropriate for today's society.
Yeah, I would like that. Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, you go get that next time we talk. Show it to me, okay?
How much would that cost, you think? Like $80?
Yeah. I'd say 75 if you go on
75.
The 13th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit. I will do that. Yeah, I should probably get a vagina somewhere.
Yeah, maybe you could, where your heart is, it could just be a vagina.
A big vagina on my heart? People might think that's a surgery scar if it looks wrong.
And then say, yeah, and then lick it or something.
I can't lick my chest.
This would make no sense for you, but inside of your thigh, you should get slippery when wet and see how that goes for you.
I get wet down there. I get a wet sack.
You get a wet sack when you're excited?
I get a wet sack sometimes, and when I'm excited, it just sweats. And...
Is that right?
No, but that'd be cool. Me and Meg were talking about, like, people we know scared about their getting canceled, but, you know, everything I just said, I don't think I'll ever get canceled for it because it wasn't mean-spirited. It was just very fun and very gross.
I think because it's not punching up or punching down towards anybody.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like,
it's fine,
right?
Yeah, it's it. I think that's why anyone who says, like, cancel culture is ruining comedy is full of shit, and they should fuck off.
They're just afraid of, afraid of growing as a person, essentially.
Yeah. Because you can talk about a tiger covered in vaginas and
Or a big soup ladle full of cum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can even dip in and be like, and the tiger's non-binary, and no one's going to fuck with you.
Yeah. People will just either... think you're funny or just not funny and weird.
Yeah, people might not think you're funny, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's their right.
I've been not funny a bunch of times.
For sure, ditto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So...
So let's put our ladles away.
I've come and get it off of our jeans and go to a junkyard of cars stacked as high as the eye can see to Tuco yelling at people again.
Yeah, man. They're doing a drug deal, and he's like, "Why is this meth blue?" And Walt's like, "Yeah, we did it different. Shut up." Although you can tell that the props department made the meth a lot less blue back in the day. It looks less blue than it does later on. It looks like candy.
Yeah, later on it looks like rock candy. This is just like lightly tinted blue. I feel as though I want to argue that they said that like, oh, we're trying a new way. So maybe they like refine the purity even more, and as it gets more pure through this new cook, it gets more and more blue.
I guess this is their first time they're trying the blue thing, and they don't have the accoutrement of a super lab underground.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then he gets out a big old freezer bag full of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this guy, some schmo, is like, just remember who you're working for. And you know how your thing is, like, the thing that really gives you the willies is someone, like, getting shot in the head point blank?
Yeah.
Mine is people getting beaten a bunch.
To death? Yeah, I get that. I understand.
That's my big, like, ooh, this scares me. This is scary to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuco beats a man to death.
Yeah, and it was over literally nothing. I think it was, I wish he could have been like, no, Tuco, listen, I'm just trying to do tough guy talk to try to scare them so that they're always loyal to you. But instead he's like, no, I was just saying, and it wasn't enough of it. And there was probably no way to stop Tuco from beating the shit out of the dude, you know?
Yeah. But Tuco be Tucoing, as we know now. He's a lot. He's a lot.
He's a lot.
We can kind of agree on that.
Here's my Tuco behavior that it sets me off when people do. When people tell me things they know I already know, I'm like, I know that. You know I know that. Would you think I didn't know that? Like, I don't beat anybody, but I get like a little shitty. Like, I know. I'm trying to think of a good example and it's escaping me. So now I just sound like a really belligerent asshole.
Wait, so you relate to Tuco here?
I'm just saying, I don't relate to Tuco here. I would never beat a man to death for trying to act like a gangster when obviously he's not. But sometimes people explain things to me that I already know. And I'm like, I already know that. And you know I do. Like, why are you telling me? Do you think I'm stupid? Like, I don't like that. But that might be the only thing where it's like I have no chill about it, I guess.
So it's like if you were watching Endgame and Tony Stark and Steve Rogers like meet near the beginning of that movie and like things are a little tense, and if someone leaned over and you're like, they had a civil war, like that would be, you'd be like, why are you telling me this? Of course I know they had a civil war.
Yeah, or you know, like, yeah, okay, essentially yes, yeah, like if somebody like and the person already knows I know that because we watched Civil War together.
We went to the midnight screening of Civil War. Why would I not? Okay.
Yeah, like if you were to go, I'm trying to think of a better example. You know, you just got to get me around.
I thought my example was pretty good. I don't know why
we're
poo-pooing it.
Okay, no, you're right. I just wanted to give like an example from everyday life and I can't. And so now I just seem like I'm like a real volatile personality.
So it's like if you were at the grocery store, right? And you're with your best friend, knows you super well, this best friend. And you were like, and you were at the silverware aisle. And I guess we're at a Target, and you grab a spoon, and then your friend says, those are for soups and cereals.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay.
Or, okay, here's an example of like, you go to Starbucks with your friend, right? Your best friend.
Starbucks, yep.
Yeah, Starbucks. You go to Starbucks with your friends, and you get a hot chocolate, and they like, you can't have any of mine. It has caffeine in it, and you don't like caffeine. I'd be like, I know that coffee has caffeine in it, and I don't like caffeine. Okay. Why are you telling me this? I just got a hot chocolate, because I, like, you already know that I, what do you think I'm done? I don't know.
Sorry, random sidetrack on that. Can you drink, like, Coca-Cola?
No, it makes me get really sweaty and hyper.
Even Coca-Cola. Wow. Okay. I don't even think of that as having that much caffeine, but maybe it's because I like mainline coffee into my veins every day. Well, what were we talking about before that? So I can have
So Tuco, he is a real hothead and he beats Amanda to death, and that made you really uncomfortable.
It made me really sad. Yeah. I don't like, I've never been punched in the face. So maybe that's why. Maybe if I did, and I'd be like, that's not that bad.
No, I think it would suck. I think you'd have a real problem with it. And it would hurt for weeks.
I've been punched in the face in a boxing mat. I boxed one time.
Did the person striking you have a glove on?
Yes, they had a glove on.
Well, that's good. So I've never been bear punched. Softened the blow.
Mm-hmm. Not as much as I thought it would, which kind of scared me at the time. Before the match, I had someone else put on a glove. I was like, hey, hit me with that glove. I want to see what it feels like. And I thought it'd be like sock and boppers. But it turns out the force of the hit stays consistent. And I was not planning on that. And it hurt.
I've been in a lot of fights as a child, so I've been punched in the face and the gut a lot. But I've done the punching back, too, and it hurts your hand as well.
Yeah, I've never done that, yet, except for the aforementioned boxing match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Tuco does that, and they get a big lunch bag full of money, and then as they go their separate ways, and Walt does a lot of quick math in his head of like, you need this much, I need this much. If we get this much through all of these cooks, that means that by the end of, 11 weeks, I'll have enough to like heavily subsidize my family's life without me. And I can die in peace. So we just have to do 11 more cooks and survive this crazy person. And Jesse's like, whatever you say, pal, I'm just here to support you. And he drives away. He goes to drive away out of this junkyard. But you know what? This giant Escalade rolls up and it's filled and it almost crashes into them. And it's scary.
It was an Escalade?
I don't know. I think it was something. It was some big.
I don't have the data up here. I can't pretend like I know like I normally do.
It was actually not an Escalade. It was a Chevy vehicle, so I don't know what the Chevy SUV is.
Oh, Meg, that's embarrassing.
I know.
Oh wow. Okay. Can I leave that in?
Yes.
Okay, I can leave that in. Okay, cool. Yeah, they pull out a dead body and they're like, this shouldn't be a dead body. This should be a hurt body.
Yeah, in the process of dying. He's had his skull beaten in, and he's having, I guess, a seizure and dying and frothing at the mouth. And Tuco's trying to get Walt to perform CPR, and Walt's like, "That, you know, doing the two breaths with the chest compressions, you don't do it. I don't think there's anything I can do. He needs an ambulance." And Tuco's like, "No, fix it. You're smart." And he's screaming. Mm-hmm. And then the dude just dies, you know?
There's a lot of on this show, Jesse does it sometimes too, think of like smartness as like a resource, which is not really how like knowledge works.
Yeah.
We'd be like, no, you have smarts, use it, like use some of it. Like then you'll have less smarts later because you've used some, but we need it right now. And it's weird because that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's though like just being intelligent gives Walt the ability to like MacGyver any situation, and he's like willfully not using it until instructed to do so.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta hold on to it, I gotta keep some in the chamber.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and then there's like, I don't know, Gonzo takes the guy who got beat up, his name's No-Dose. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he takes No-Dose and he's like, he puts him under some cars
and the cars shift eerily
a little bit, and he's like, oof, that was a close one, and walks away.
Yes. Foreshadowing. And then he covers it with like a piece of bumper or something.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the end of that, I guess, right? Yeah. And he goes home to his wife, who has just got some guacamole on her face.
She put a bunch of guacamole. Like, we're obviously pro Skylar, but I didn't get this because I don't think that'd be good for your skin, putting a bunch of guacamole on your face.
She just took a thing of guacamole into the bathroom, and she, you know, it seems like she was moisturizing her big pregnant tummy, and then she's like, well, time to put the guacamole on.
I might have asked this last week. Did you do, like, I feel like every time I see a pregnant woman in a show, that's especially one that's, like, been pregnant over several episodes, they're always, like, rubbing stuff on their tummy. Did you rub stuff on your tummy when you were pregnant?
Nothing special, probably just like lotion, because it does get like dry because it's constantly being rubbed up against your clothes in a weird way.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I swam so much during my pregnancies. I probably put lotion on there just to make
it. Oh, you swam so much during the pregnancies? I didn't know that. That's cool.
That's how I got into swimming, actually, was I was like, so I had like not a lot going on when I was pregnant with my daughter because I got fired when I disclosed my pregnancy. And yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, they're pieces of shit. And then I couldn't really get another job because it was just at the time I was starting to show. And also it was just like, I don't know. I like applied for work but couldn't find anything. And I didn't really have the confidence to, I just had no money and I stayed at home all the time. And I started to get into swimming as like the daily thing that I would do to like, at least not be just stuck inside with no money. So my parents would like send me $50 every 2 weeks so I could pay like the swimming fees at the public pools and around Los Angeles. And that was, yeah. So I swam a lot and I was a big pregnant woman at all these pools. And actually that's how I went into labor in a public pool on San Vicente and Melrose in, or Santa Monica in Hollywood or West Hollywood.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool.
Yeah.
I think, we've talked about you going into labor and on this podcast, right?
Probably, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think we did it when Skylar went into labor.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, that's not how this works.
Or you talked about one of the labors, maybe, because you had gone through two. I don't know.
I had a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, I think I definitely put lotion on my stomach, but I did never, like, none of the, like, cocoa butter or whatever.
That's what, yeah, it's always cocoa butter.
Yeah, they say it's supposed to help with stretch marks, but I don't think it does.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we get to this. Here's where we're going to be snorting vitamins, I guess.
Boy.
Yeah, boy. Walt comes home. Oh, it. Whoa. Sorry. Back to Funland for a second. I didn't realize this. Walt returns home where Skylar is applying an avocado mask. It
so
is.
So we were right.
We were right in our. It wasn't guac, but it was. We were close. I didn't know that such a thing existed.
I certainly didn't either. I really didn't.
Okay. And she discovers him aimlessly clicking through television channels and asking what he's doing. He sobs briefly and he stands behind her and he forces himself on his pregnant wife.
Yeah, who is objecting pretty, like, you know, starts to be like, oh, okay, you know what, wait. And then this is a bad idea because Junior's going to be home. You know what, this is, stop. And it was very uncomfortable to watch. And I think, you know, this is definitely where I'd have been like, fuck you. Like, I was surprised she didn't retaliate more. But again, she is pregnant. So, like, I think naturally she's just trying to protect herself and not maybe stand up for herself.
Yeah, she gives him a lot of off ramps.
Yeah, and he doesn't take it. I'd say that there were a half a dozen or more opportunities for him to have listened to her. And he, you know, like takes off her underwear, like doesn't it just really is it's hard to ever feel any sympathy for anything in either direction, knowing that like he's capable of this. I don't know why this was like the most egregious thing to me. This bothered me more than him letting Jane die.
Oh really? Okay. I'd say they're comparable, but yeah,
I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, there's just something about, like, he could have been benevolent and helped Jane survive, but he didn't. Granted, I think there's something about her having threatened to, like, I might just extort you for money for the rest of your life, like,
yeah,
earlier in that episode.
True.
Whereas she's just, like, Skylar's literally just in her house, like, trying to make a sandwich or something.
Yeah,
oh, no,
you convinced me on this.
For him.
Because Skylar literally didn't do anything. She was being kind of the best wife right before this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She was like, hey, we got chicken from Guzzi's or whatever.
She said Albertsons with Jamie Hammond.
Oh, is Albertsons a real place?
Yeah, it's like a big supermarket chain across the United States. It owns like a lot of other big brands. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. It was, and they don't really like, I do kind of wish they would have like brought this up again.
Yeah, like why didn't she tell Hank, like, I mean, obviously she couldn't, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's like also just like knowing that there's scenes like this that happen to people all the time in relationships and they can't leave just is also kind of, it's just like a grim reminder of, I don't know. It's fucked up. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird way to start the episode, too. It's not that far in.
Yeah, know? It's like the first scene after the cold open.
Yeah.
No, it's second yeah, sorry. Scene, it's the second scene after the cold open. Yeah. Yeah. And then Walt Jr. comes home and he sees the avocado mask on the fridge.
Yeah. Like he forced his wife's fucking face on the fridge. She's
I do like that they include just like, sorry, as like a production standpoint, they included that bit just to make, to be like, no, this was bad. Like what he did, like to show the wreckage on the floor. They didn't gloss over that.
No, I mean, yeah, I, you.
Note to the director. Good job.
Yeah. I guess it's, yeah, like exactly. He was so forceful that like, and she was so unprepared.
Holy shit.
What?
Do you know who directed this?
Who?
Bryan Cranston.
Why?
Yeah, so he directed himself doing that.
That's fucking weird.
Holy shit, I had no idea. This had to have been his first directing one, because I doubt they would have let him do one in the first season when it was like all new, right?
I really am not. Who's to say? There's all sorts of things he could have negotiated in his contract, you know? Wow, that's wild to hear.
Yeah, wow, I had no idea. And he made our favorite scene of the series.
Oh, the skateboarding scene. Yeah, skateboarding. That was fucking sick. Yeah.
That was sick. That was way sicker than this.
Did you know he's like a very talented roller skater himself?
I didn't know that. I know he did. Then that makes more sense of a bit they did on Malcolm in the Middle where he got really into roller skating.
Yeah, no, he has like, I think he's a very coordinated person. I think he likes those type of action sports. But
that's funny because he's very good at acting with his body, because Walt is very not coordinated, it seems, when he's like running and like acting like a wiener the whole show.
I think, you know, he's just a good actor.
Anna Gunn's a good actor, too. I think she's really good at this, especially when she's yelling at Hank.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to later.
So she reams out Walt by the pool in a way that I wish she was more aggressive on, but I understand, given everything, the confines of what she could do. And then, Junior comes home, and then the next scene, I think is Maria on the phone.
No, we see real actual guacamole this time.
Oh, yes, because Jesse is going to buy a gun at the Wiener house or whatever.
Yeah, the gun that we've seen a bunch, which was never fired, I don't think.
Yeah, so a gun with
Mike just takes it eventually.
Oh, yeah, Mike takes it and he actually sells it back to that guy who sells Walt the gun at the end of the middle of the fourth seat, the snub nose.
That is fun fan, like, speculation that it's the exact same gun.
But well, they look so similar, but you're
they
right.
do look similar. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he's like, he wants to. Jesse presses a gun. He's like scared. Jesse's scared that because they witnessed Tuco do a murder, that like he's gonna go after us now.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems to track for me.
Yeah. I remember being like, well, why would he want to? He knows you guys are cool. Like, you're in the hole for all that meth. Like, what are you gonna do? Go to the cops?
But it also just seems like he's not got a regular brain. Kind of like
that's
Jesse
true.
Was saying later. But yeah, like they have equal amounts of dirt on one another. It's not like having a giant drug ring is gonna be better than being a fucking meth distributor. Like it's. Even Stevens, but I don't think you could ever get out of business with someone like Tuco, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, you're in there, and then once you're done, he's gonna pop, pop, pop.
Not unlike us. It seems like there's no way to just gracefully exit the meth business.
I feel like Gus would eventually have let Walt out if Walt just wouldn't have fucked everything up so beyond repair.
Yeah.
Because the reason things went south with Gus was because Walt killed his dealers.
Yes. Yeah, he ran over his dealers, and then he killed Gail, and then, if he had just kind of kept his head down, things would have been so easy.
I can't believe Gus still paid Walt after all that and wasn't just like, all right, well, you work for free now.
Yeah.
Or else we'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
But that's somehow he still pays him money. American dollar bills. And then I think there's that scene where they're in Jesse's kitchen and Jesse's like, I got a gun.
Yes, there is that scene.
I haven't read the manual, but here it is.
I don't know how to open it. I'm gonna pop a bunch of bullets off. I think I have a 3, and we're gonna do it. And then we'll be free from all this, as though killing ever has solved anything long term. If you've ever watched an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, you would know that killing rarely solves all your problems.
I feel like killing Gus would have solved all his problems if he wouldn't have gone back to touch that stove. Like, everything was fine.
Killing Gus?
After he killed Gus, he's like, he could have just been like, all right, I'm out of the game. But he was like out of money. And all right, let's try. But yeah, no. Because then Gus's whole empire had to like deal with not ratting out Mike or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, why are we talking about season 5? That's later. That's later. Or earlier.
Well, I thought Gus's empire did know who Eisenberg had some, like, there was a trail that could lead it back after.
Yeah, I think, I guess you're right. And that was a big thing where Walt's like, I need the list of guys.
Yeah.
And then he shanks them.
Yeah. Well, anyways, in this instance, they're pretty tied up, cozy with Tuco, who is, volatile, and they're afraid. And like, so, yeah. Walt is like, hey, how would you just like run me through the scenario, because I just want to see if I could poke any holes in it, you know, just make sure it's airtight. How would you kill him? And then Jesse doesn't really describe it well, and Walt's like, I don't think this is gonna work, friend. And that's kind of the end of the scene, right? Or
yeah, that's and then Jesse does like, he's like, would you even have it in it to kill someone? And Jesse goes, you did.
Ah, yes.
And so, obviously,
he kills
to be continued.
Yeah. I feel like at least one other person dies from this point forward.
Yeah. And then, you know, we were excited when Skylar really made a meal of a cigarette earlier.
Oh, boy.
Marie makes a fucking feast about being on the phone.
She just tells her whole life story to an answering machine on speakerphone while she makes a thermos full of tea. I'm not sure. And just doesn't even really mind that nobody's talking back to her at all. It's as though it doesn't really matter. As long as the phone's listening, that's all that she cares about.
It's like she, if the technology for podcasts existed at this time, I feel like she would want to do one, because that she could just do this all the time.
Is Ira Glass the only person who does like a podcast that's mostly just them talking, or are there a lot of podcasts like that?
I have a lot of podcasts
just
like
one
that,
person talking.
Yeah, like Ben Shapiro and a bunch of other right wing goons, and a bunch of left wing goons that I like. I don't know. There's a lefty podcast called the David Pakman Show, and it's pretty much just him talking about the news.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I don't really, as much as I enjoy making our podcast, I'm not a huge podcast person, so.
Yeah, I don't gravitate towards those types, but I do like listening to people talk to each other.
Yeah, that's
a little
fun.
Bit more.
That's fun.
Yeah, but.
When you had told me last year to do homework where I listened to a podcast and you recommended one, I randomly went through the YouTube podcast through the Comedy Bang Bang between Adam Scott and, what's his nuts? Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman. And as I was listening to it, it shouted out my friend who I know who did like all the art direction for, they were like talking about Paul Hornschmeyer on the air. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was, and it was from like 2 years earlier or even more. Maybe it was from like 2014. I don't know. It was wild.
Yeah. They started doing, their first one is You Talking You Two to Me. And that was when I was in Chicago. So yeah, that had to have been sometime before 2015.
Yeah, so. That's so crazy. So anyways, that was just pretty exciting. And now Paul's been on our podcast. He's been named top tier. So we have a lot in common with any
Earwolf
podcast.
Well, look at that. So maybe we can use that and get Scott Aukerman on our podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm sure he would have a lot to say to us. Okay, so then what happens?
Well, then Marie is walking outside and Hank's like, hey, dude,
you gotta go to your therapist, right?
And a little boy is like, hi, Mr. Schrader, and we gotta talk about him.
He doesn't say a single fucking thing, does he?
No, he talks. He says two lines.
Oh, wow. How did I miss it?
Well, I was certainly counting. But anyway.
He's in other episodes doing this.
Not this kid.
It's a different kid with a red.
It must be a different actor because this kid is billed for just this one.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, his name is, we might have talked about him last time. But his name's Ryan Lee. He's actually kind of hunky now.
I like to see.
Oh, okay, well, let me share this up. If you want to see this.
I just want to see a little hunk.
See a little hunk? Because, yeah, he's older now. It's, like, cool for us to think he's a hunk now, right?
Yeah, because he was 2007. I would have been 20, and he was 10 here. So, oh, boy.
Okay, so you should see yourself right now, but that's okay.
Oh, boy.
But this is him.
Oh. Yeah.
He was born in 1996. Is this cool that we're calling him hunky?
So he's 9 years younger than I am, and,
like, yeah, okay, that's fine. This is cool. This is cool. Wow. Yeah, that's what he looks
look
like. His name is.
Very good.
Yeah,
nose,
he still looks like a young boy if this is from then. But Ryan Lee, I'll stop sharing with you. He was he was in Super 8. Oh, he must have been one of the children.
Or at a school, perhaps.
Yeah, God, he was in the Goosebumps movie from 2015. He was in This Is 40. And then Brockmire, he was a main character. It looks like.
Oh.
In a show called Trophy Wife, he was a main or reoccurring character. And last but not least, Community. He was in an episode of Community.
Okay,
good for him.
Good for him.
He's in a bunch of shit. All right, that's that on him. But anyway, Marie runs over his car.
And Hank's like, hey, she's a real loose cannon. Here's a pocket full of cash. Go buy a new one.
Yeah. And then Hank goes to the DEA and he's like a little upset, and he walks by a prisoner who yells some things. And anyway, that prisoner is played by Isaac Cappy. And you can see him in Thor as Pet Store Clerk. That movie Fanboys, which I remember being okay, as someone named Garfunkel in Terminator Salvation, one of the worst of the Terminators. Someone named Barbossa. I don't know. No one saw that movie.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but, you know, my dad would sometimes have to take me to work because he'd work long shifts. And when I was really little, I'd always want to go down to where the holding cells were because I thought it was so interesting and, like, talk to the people there when I was, like, five. And my dad's like, you cannot talk to the people in the holding cells. And I'd be like, why not? I want to know what's up. Like,
well, you could ask this guy what it was like to pretend to be someone in a holding cell someday. And that's all we need to know about him. But yeah, this is where he watches that surveillance video with Gomi.
Yes, and they kind of determine that the two people robbing the store are very smart, but have no fucking idea what they're doing in terms of cooking meth. And obviously has to be Walt.
Who do you think these two people are?
Walt and Jesse.
Well, we don't know, but you think that so far.
I certainly do.
Because they do have a barrel of methylamine that they use.
Yes.
And they are smart, but a little bumbling.
But why wouldn't they roll the methylamine other than if Walt is like, don't agitate it too much or something?
Maybe they were just panicking or they didn't want to be loud. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, this would be a lot of meth they could make. So we should crime stop.
Yeah, let's be on the lookout for a P2P cook because the other one that they talk about is scarce right now. The
Sudafed is what they...
Yeah, that's not around right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of Breaking Bad first in this episode. This is the first one where you, like, oh no, I guess last episode is where they finally actually make blue meth, if that makes sense, because you see it for the first time, this one. But this is the first one you see ricin.
Yes, I did see ricin in this one.
But yes, Walt sees an SUV parked on his driveway, or in his street, and he's like, uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Because before, Jesse was like, I think this, somebody's, you know, tracing me, and now Walt's beginning to believe Jesse, because before he was like, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, moving, there's a lot of middle-of-the-road shit in this, where Walt spends all night looking out a window, holding a knife, and Skylar's like, were you standing by the window with your knife all night? And he goes, nah.
I had diarrhea.
My stomach just hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I pooped a bunch. Don't worry. And then Marie calls again because she loves that phone, baby.
Yes.
And Skylar just hicks up and hangs up. That's it.
Yes. And then is this when Hank comes over?
Apparently, Walt confronts Jesse about the other night. Oh, Walt's like, how does Tuco know my address? How's he know?
Yes.
And then Jesse's like, he's got feelers. And then Jesse's like, you should get a gun. And he goes, well, how about I'll do you one better? Beans. And then they bring up Bryson. And it's kind of fun because, yeah, this is the beginning of it and no one gets killed by Bryson until the very final episode of the show.
Oh, and it's just Lydia. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now
wait, but if it was so stinky, how come Lydia didn't taste it in her coffee?
Unclear.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like they put a lot more in this one. I don't know.
Who's to say?
Also, if he's snorting meth up his nose a bunch, wouldn't his sense of smell get better?
In what way?
Because, like, he's clearing holes in there, and so more smell can get in, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never snorted anything intentionally in my entire life. Yesterday, I accidentally inhaled a bunch of bubbles in the hot tub, and that hurt my throat, and I didn't feel great after that. So that's the whole experience of consuming things in that way.
With your nose?
Yeah, through inhaling.
Well, so we'll have to ask around and find out if that makes your sense of smell better.
Yes.
My hypothesis is yes, they're super smellers now.
So he's hyper aware of it. Maybe they cut this and Lydia's like, oh yeah, I'm nose blind. I can't smell a fucking thing, but I love tea.
Well, I mean, maybe she's like, cause he's about to put meth in his nose, right?
Yeah.
She, is like just taking a little like packet and pouring it in tea. And so I don't think it's like an odor that's like, whoa, it was just like when he put it right next to his nose.
Well, he just opened the bag and said, this smells like head cheese, which is like, I don't even know. Is that some type of like dick reference? I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably smegma is what he was referring to.
Oh.
You know what smegma is?
The frothy concoction that comes out when the combination of vaginal fluid and semen.
Okay. I thought smegma was just semen that can build up under the head of the penis.
Well, you better Google it.
Okay. Stand by, everyone.
And Santorum is the anal equivalent of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all named right. after Rick Santorum.
We're Googling smegma. A sebaceous secretion in the folds of the skin, especially under a man's foreskin.
Oh. Okay.
Sebaceous? Well, we're going to go ahead and Google that word while we're here.
I thought it was the combination of the two fluids, but I clearly am wrong, and now I'm shook to my core.
I think you're thinking of truffle butter.
Truffle butter?
Do you remember that song? There was a song called Truffle Butter, and it's like, hold on, relating to oil or fat is that word. Here. It's like, truffle butter is like gross. It's like when you pull out from a woman's behind and come in her front, and that whole mixture of fluids is truffle butter.
That's Santorum.
That's truffle butter.
That's Santorum. They renamed it to Santorum after Rick Santorum because he was being such a jerk.
Oh, well, it's a Nicki Minaj song called Truffle Butter.
Maybe it's just to do with when it's like anal between two men.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, because this is definitely a man and a woman need to be involved.
Okay, so then the frothy concoction of lube and cum and feces is... I'm only truffle speaking butter. Softly. No, not truffle butter.
Oh,
sorry. Between a man and a man is considered Santorum. I swear to God, I thought...
No. I believe you. I'm trying to find out.
And see, like, so that I don't have to issue a retraction next episode.
No. I'm trying to find out what Nicki Minaj thinks truffle butter is.
Because if you need to have, like, vaginal secretion for truffle butter, then, yeah, you can't make that with a man and a man.
Okay. Hold on. Truffle Butter Urban Dictionary. Let me do that. And then all Santorum Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
What does truffle butter mean? Slangdictionary.com. Oh, no, just let's go to Urban Dictionary. A combination of fluids from having an anal sex intercourse reference to the color and texture of thick substance that forms after having both anal sex and direct penetration with the vagina afterwards without washing first, taking its name from the truffles because of the color of gooey thick substance created after penetrating both holes sexually and its texture of the gooey substance being something thick like that of butter.
Okay, and Santorum?
Okay, let's Google Santorum. Santorum. A little different, it looks like. The frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. So it looks like Santorum's just anal.
Okay, yeah, just. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we understand. This is good. This is good. Now
this is good. This is, yeah, this is how we expand our horizons and meld our vocabulary.
Yes, okay.
For the students out there, yeah, don't. Now you can use these on your next term paper and everyone will be like, what a smarto. Yeah. They know words.
You're talking all about fiat currency, and then you throw like these in there. Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
Yep.
Okay.
Fiat currency. What is that?
We don't got to get into it.
Okay.
It's currency that the government issues that isn't backed by a material, like how the United States has a fiat currency because we no longer go against the gold standard. They kind of just print money willy nilly.
Got it. And smegma is. Come under your foreskin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it.
These are the vocab terms this week, guys. Fiat currency, smegma, truffle butter,
Santorum. Know them because they're going to be a pop quiz.
They're going to be on the test, everyone.
Yeah.
So buckle up. Okay. So what were we doing?
I think that Skylar Hank comes yells over. At Hank. Because Hank is like, please just speak to my wife because it's driving her up a fucking wall that you can't, she can't gab at you. And if you just scream at her, everything's going to be fine. And the way that Skylar delivers this one line in particular made me laugh. And then she stares Hank right in the face and goes, she's a shoplifter. As though that's the same as someone who's like intentionally spread HIV around. Like, it's stupid. It's a dumb thing to do, but it's not that dramatic, you know?
True. Yeah. I think she was like, there's no way Hank knows. Like,
oh, yeah.
And he's like, I know. Yeah. Which is kind of shitty of Hank. That means he realized that the gift she was giving Skylar, this tiara that we've heard talked about, was stolen. And he's like, let's just let this one slide, I guess.
Yeah, I think that was bad on his part to kind of enable her problem. There was this part of me that was very surprised when he's like, we have to support her. Just support her like hell through this. We're trying to get it addressed. She's seeing a specialist, this type of thing. That I was like, I could never imagine a partner who wouldn't be like, what the fuck are you doing? Knock it off, you know? But like you said, we've also seen Hank treat Marie like utter garbage when he was in bed all the time.
Yeah, people are complicated, Meg. Yeah. They confirm multitudes. Unfortunately, no one person is either all good or all bad. And that's a frustrating thing about the world we live in.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you've heard of a man named Jesus.
Yeah, but have you heard of his carpentry prices?
No.
They were really expensive.
And also, I heard that he didn't have like any type of guarantee behind his work. So that like if something went to shit, quickly after he addressed it, he'd be like, I'm sorry, that's just how it is.
Yeah, you get home, you get your shiny new table from this carpenter you heard good stuff about, and oops, the leg fell off, you take it back, and he goes, ugh, as is, man, I can make you another one, but obviously I'm gonna have to charge you full price, which is shitty. It's kind of shitty of him to do.
Yeah, but then he was a benevolent person, so I'm not sure. In every other aspect of his life, he was great, except the carpentry thing. And then when he did Uber Eats for a while, he didn't always bring it to the door. And he was expecting people to meet him out front, and that wasn't nice.
And then they were going to stone that prostitute. I think Mary Magdalene was her name. And he's like, hey, whoa, let's not, guys, chill. Let's not do that. He, without the sin, may cast the first stone. And they were all like, we have sinned. This is a real story from the Bible.
And then he married her, right?
And then no. Oh yeah, then he didn't marry her. as we all know.
Who'd he marry if it wasn't her? I'm not sure.
It was Mary Magdalene. Well, yeah, it was Mary Magdalene. They talk about it in that book that everyone liked for a few years.
The Da Vinci Code, right?
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. Okay.
He married Mary Magdalene and he fucked a bunch.
Wait, did he really marry Mary Magdalene?
That's not like
I don't know.
I historically, I think it's like, I don't know enough. It's like not in the, it's not in the Bible at all.
Did they hang out though? Like, it wasn't like that was the last time he hung out.
Yeah, they hung out. Yeah. They played Yahtzee all the time.
Yeah. Yahtzee was big back then. I thought they hung out. Like, I honestly
thought. Didn't like, I don't know. It wasn't like hanging out like nowadays where it's like, no, yeah, they were in like, they had a D&D campaign that they would do. I don't know. What is hanging out in the zeros?
I know. I'm just asking, like, did he, I thought that like they were like a unit. I thought they, I wasn't even trying to be stupid before. Like, I thought that they were married. I thought that that was his wife or like at least somebody hung out, like spent time with, you know?
I think there's like historic, like if you like look at the history close enough, you're like, there is some evidence. It could be inferred that Jesus actually didn't die on the cross and married Mary Magdalene. And, then other people are like, no, blasphemy. He wouldn't do that. He died a virgin. Okay. And yeah.
Okay. Well, I just, I didn't know.
There's a lot going on with those Bibles. Well, here, I'm on Urban Dictionary. Let me just Google Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
Magdalene? Okay. Mary Magdalene, a sexual act. The MM requires that the partner with long hair be on top of the other so that the head of the partner with the hair is covered over the other's feet. This necessitates some variation of reverse cowgirl and should be done with care since the partner on top will be using their hands, which would normally be supporting themselves to use their hair to wash the feet of the other partners with sensual oil or motion lotion.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that either. That one doesn't sound that fun.
I don't understand what you'd get out of that.
I think he washed her hair. And she was like kind of gutter trash, and everyone's like, "Why would you do that?" And he's like, "Because
I want to marry
everyone.
Her.
Everyone's equal in the eye of God." And bro, bro, still hot, right? Bro, dude, treat her good. She'll treat you good, bro.
Jesus,
that's why good and bad. Jesus, good and bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So now that we know for sure, unequivocally, Jesus married Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, obviously we figured that out.
Yeah.
did he marry her before or after dying?
I think it was like he was about 6 and he married her, right?
6 years old?
I don't know how the Bible, I don't know Bible math.
I mean, people get to be like 800 in that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently there was a, this is the weird thing about, this is real, about the Bible, is there's like gospels, because like the gospels, you know, there's the 4.
Yeah.
That are like the main ones.
The big hitters.
And they were written like long years apart.
Sure.
And after, but they all tell the same story. There's a bunch of gospels that, like, I don't know, got on the cutting room floor. And there's a Gospel of Mary. And the Gospel of Mary is the only surviving apocryphal text named after a woman. It contains the role of Mary, of women in the early church. It's like, maybe they should have included that in. It seems cool.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I wasn't there. And nobody would have listened to me, even if I was. So. Because I would have been like, Jesus married her, right? And they go, no. And I'm like, I don't know. Jesus didn't know too many women, and I bet he married her.
Yeah. She watched him die, apparently. She
was sad.
Yeah, because
that was his wife. She was pissed.
Were they married then, though? I thought they got married. I thought she married resurrected Jesus.
I don't know who did what. I don't.
Okay.
Do you think she got into heaven?
Probably.
Or do you think heaven was Jesus?
Did Jesus...
Sorry.
Did Jesus believe in heaven, or was he just, like, kind of spiritual?
I think Jesus was just like, I'm kind of agnostic. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah, like, he was like, I don't know. Like, we should just be good to each other, you know?
Like, I'm kind of spiritual. Like, I'm a good person. Yeah, that was...
Like, heaven's not a place you can go. It's, like, a place we have to build together. Like, is that a thing? Is that what he did?
Hold on. My children are out of line. Beautiful children! Just be quiet. Come on, man! I'm doing the podcast. Okay. Thank you.
We'll get back to Breaking Bad. I have typed in.
Hi. Why are you laughing?
I want a hug.
Oh, I love giving you hugs. I love you very much.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Hey, Brock. Brock, I love you. Oh, I got an I love you back.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so what it says is, from this one article from history.com, is she traveled around with him a bunch in the Bible and like saw his testimony, saw him die, was super bummed about it. And some people later have inferred that like maybe they were smooching a bit.
Okay, so they hung out.
Yeah.
Like,
so they hung out. Yeah, they hung out. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. Oh, and it says she was a babe.
Oh,
so
wow,
obviously,
like a Stone Cold Smoke Show?
She was a Stone Cold Stone Cold Fox, Stone Cold Smoke Show. And she knew it.
So she,
which could get frustrating.
She thought she was cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She likes that song by Megan Thee Stallion where she goes, I'm a hot girl. I do hot shit. I sang that on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted
yes.
to sing it again.
Yes.
Anyway, where was we? They make the ricin.
And that just happens quickly. And then it's like, okay, we'll just try to get it. We'll mix it in with meth and have them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why they didn't do the umbrella situation that they talked about the KGB doing. That seemed like,
well, because it's not, it doesn't rain, so why would they need an umbrella?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have put it on the tip of a frisbee and thrown it at him, and when it
well, if I, okay, I mean, it, maybe if you did that it would work. I have bad accuracy with a frisbee, so I'd be worried leaving that to chance.
Well, don't do it without practicing.
But they don't have, they're on a time crunch is my only thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, go
yeah,
on.
So, no, yeah, yeah. Every time I throw a frisbee, it ends up, like, tilting on its side, and then just, it looks like a razor blade.
What if they just put it on the end of a knife and stab Tuco with it?
Oh, and if the knife didn't take care of the work, the rest?
Yeah. Easy peasy. Sorry, I stabbed you, Tuco. Yeah. Why don't they make them spaghetti and meatballs and put it in there?
So, okay. So, that yeah, because that way... Well, because I don't think he knew he was going to get kidnapped, but what you're saying is make spaghetti and meatballs, put it in Tupperware,
yeah.
And so he just has it on him. In the very, in the instance that he gets kidnapped, that could be like, empty your pockets. Well, I had this in my pocket. It's still hot.
Yeah.
And if you want it,
yeah,
go nuts.
It's my mama's spaghetti. Please don't eat it, Tuco. Please, please, please. And then he goes, mm-hmm. Ooh, this must be good spaghetti. You don't think mm-hmm. that would have worked?
No, I think that would have worked perfectly.
Yeah, they fucked up, man.
I think this is, no, I don't even, I think this is just poor writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we got
and
that
then,
covered. They fucked
now up. We got that covered, yeah. That we fixed it. We fixed your show, Vince,
yeah.
Again. And, yeah, then we get that call from Hank where he's like, hey, sorry, your wife's gonna be pissed. My bad.
Anyways, want to see some fucked up bullshit? And then sends him pictures of Gonzo, and guess what? He's Gonzo. He's dead.
Nice.
And immediately...
You took your shot. That was good.
Yeah. Immediately, Walt is like, oh my gosh, this is the work of only Tuco. He's coming for us!
Mm-hmm.
And he steals Jesse's gun and says, leave! And it just was like, eh, that's kind of mean. And then Jesse's like, what do I do? And he tries to leave town.
Yeah, he grabs his money, importantly.
Yes.
Because if he would have just left that under his sink, he'd be fine. Wouldn't have lost all that money.
True.
And at some point, Tuco catches up with him. I don't know how.
And yeah, they don't cover that. They are notorious for sometimes just leaving shit like that out. Oh, it's...
Yeah.
We gotta hurry.
yeah, sorry. But then we find out a little while later that... at the junkyard,
Gonzo. The fucking Gonzo was like, I gotta get my boy back and like do it mm-hmm. right by him, and then he gets crushed trying to save his friend's body.
So it's this whole thing's a comedy of errors, is what it's what's happening.
This is classic Shakespearean shit right here.
It's some Three's Company bullshit.
Yeah,
happening amongst everyone.
We've got a lot of whoop 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 like Three Stooges yep, type shit.
And then yeah. Skylar takes a bath.
And she has 18 candles or so. Like, I don't understand this at your own house. All the candles, I don't get it.
Real quick, sorry. At the junkyard, there's a detective. His name is Vic Browder. He's been in such things as Sicario, Waco, The Magnificent Seven. Go on, we're done with him. Back to the bath.
She's, you know... I asked if Adam would have gotten a chubby here if he were to have been 14, and he said, depends on the circumstances. That's pretty much the end of this scene, other than Walt comes in and he gets a phone call and he doesn't answer it. And then he goes to, he sees headlights and he's like, Right?
Yeah. There's some cell phone foreshadowing I never noticed before. When he gets the call from Hank, they're making rice with Jesse, he checks one cell phone and realizes, oh, it's the other one, and then pulls out another cell phone. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't. That was cool. I didn't notice it. I also don't know why he didn't keep his drug dealing cell phone on silent at all times, because it seems...
Yeah, he should have done that.
Yeah, like, useful. And then he sees Jesse's car roll up, and he goes out to admonish Jesse, and guess who's in the car with a gun? It's Tuco, and he's mad, and he probably would have been happy to be offered some spaghetti and meatballs, you know?
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't, because Walt didn't think ahead. So that's the episode. Meg, what do you give it?
B+.
B+, yep. I would give that a B+, too. I might even give this one a B.
Yeah, it's very... Like I said in the beginning, I cannot separate my anger at Walt from the rest of the episode. But also, it is kind of just like these scenes happen to get us to the end of this episode where the next episode can happen.
This whole episode is vegetables. The next episode's dessert.
Yeah.
Okay. Really quickly, The Ringer.
There's 63 episodes, right?
62.
62 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I cannot remember the numbers I've already said, so I'm going to say 46.
Yeah. Nah, close. It, you're right to think middle of the road. It's 39.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. So I kind of, that one's hard. That's one of those middle ones where you're like, wasn't bad, but wasn't that great.
Yeah, wasn't great. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, I suppose.
Yeah, until next time, we suppose, Mighty Fine Heisenberg.
To you, fair listeners.
To you, fair listeners.
Bye.
Bye.